Today's reading is Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who'd been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's great to be looking at Luke chapter 7 with you today. If you don't have a Bible, now would be a good time to press pause and go and get one if you've got one, so that we can follow together. Let's pray. Lord, please may we hear from you now as we look at your word. May we hear from you what we need to hear, and may we be ready to change what needs to be changed. Amen. Well, we all have faith in someone or something. The question we're going to look at now is, who do we have faith in? Maybe it's you. My girls sing in a choir, and one day we heard them perform a song, and the chorus includes these words: "I can do anything I want, I can be anything I want, if I just believe in me." Maybe you have faith in yourself. Maybe your faith is wholeheartedly in Jesus. We sing many songs at church which express that. One of them I've been listening to recently puts it simply like this: "Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life." Maybe you have faith in Jesus. Or maybe you have faith in Jesus, but there are times when you have wondered whether you have enough faith. Perhaps that's because you are very low and don't feel you can muster up any faith. Or perhaps it's because you're having an awful time and you wonder whether that is due to your lack of faith. Who do you have faith in? That question is right at the heart of today's passage, which is all about the faith of a centurion, a Roman soldier. And the first thing that stands out is that true faith is not about trusting in me. In this passage, we meet a very impressive character. He is, as I've said, a Roman soldier. He's a man of rank, a centurion. Now, I've consulted Ben Furley and his grandfather, who are experts on these things, and they say a centurion was probably the equivalent of a captain in the British Army. You'd address an envelope, Centurion Smithus, just as you'd address an envelope to a captain in the British Army, Captain Smith. He is a man of rank. He's also a commander of men. A centurion commanded 100 men, and we see something of the authority he had in verse 8. He says, I tell someone to do it, something, and they do it. He's also popular. This particular centurion doesn't just have rank. The Jewish elders describe him as someone who loves our nation. He'd won the hearts of the people he had conquered, and that's no mean feat. He's also generous and respectful. This centurion is credited with building a synagogue. Presumably he'd given the money and done what was needed to make sure it got built. He showed generosity and respect. And finally, he was someone who valued people. Look at verse 2. The Greek here suggests that he really cared for his servant. He really mattered to him. And that's why he wanted Jesus to heal him. Well, the Jewish elders' verdict was that this man is deserving. Their verdict is in verse 4. They're saying he deserves to have Jesus heal his servant. He's an impressive man, a decent bloke. He deserves to have his request granted. And so this sort of man, Jesus, you really ought to be doing something for. And yet they could not have been more wrong, as the centurion himself recognised. The centurion's verdict is the last part of verse 6. And it is, I'm not deserving. And in fact, it's repeated in verse 7. I did not consider myself worthy even to come to you. All that stuff he could have put on his UCAS form, on his CV, in his job application. All things he could have won prizes for at school. They weren't worth anything. The centurion's faith is not based on who he was or what he achieved. The starting point for our faith is not our strength, but recognizing our weakness, our unworthiness, that we're undeserving. It's very easy to approach God pleased with all the good things we have done. Maybe we've done all our schoolwork, we've done some chores around the house, and have been nice to our parents and siblings. Maybe we've visited someone lonely, helped with their shopping, or given some money to a charity. It's so easy to begin to put our faith in the things we have done, to think that God accepts us because of those things. Instead, the starting point is humbly recognizing our unworthiness and that we are undeserving. Trusting in who we are and what we have done can take more subtle forms than trusting in our good deeds. For example, we can begin to think that our faith is the basis upon which God accepts us or listens to us. We think of our faith as some sort of man-made thing that we give to God, some sort of quality that makes him happy with us, something for which we deserve the credit, the thing we offer God as our side of the bargain, like the cash a customer hands over to purchase the goods. People sometimes say, I wish I had your faith, as though it is some quality I possess. That way of thinking can lead us to wonder whether bad things have happened to us because we haven't had enough faith. But that's to fall into the trap of thinking our faith is some quality which we have, which determines how God acts towards us. A university professor, Todd Billings, grapples with these things in a moving book on his diagnosis with cancer. He writes of how on one occasion he went to his pastor and asked the question, what if I'm not healed because I don't have enough faith? He describes how he was tempted to think that faith was rewarded with healing and a lack of healing showed a lack of faith. But he recognised that was not the way it worked. True faith is not about trusting in me or my faith. Sometimes in the midst of a terrible trial, we might find ourselves so drained, so weakened, that we do not know how we can carry on having faith, let alone having the sort of faith we think we should have. Those times come to us all at some stage. And yet true faith is not about trusting in me or my ability to muster up or make some sort of faith. True faith is all about trusting in Jesus. True faith is all about trusting in Jesus. The centurion gives us a great expression of faith, and it's all about Jesus. So let's look first at verse 7. The centurion sends a delegation. It goes off to plead with Jesus on the basis of the centurion's merit. And the centurion sends another delegation because he doesn't think he should even have sent the first to ask Jesus to come under his roof. And he then says, that is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. What is at the heart of the centurion's faith? Well, firstly, his recognition of the power of Jesus' word. The centurion was saying, you don't even need to be with my servant to heal him. You can be miles away, but if you say the words, my servant will be healed. The centurion recognises Jesus' power. Secondly, what is at the heart of the centurion's faith? Well, his recognition of Jesus' authority. Look at verse 8. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. The centurion mentions himself here, but he does it to make the point that Jesus has authority. The centurion recognized that just as God created the universe by speaking words, so Jesus could heal his servant with words. What is at the heart of the centurion's faith? Well, thirdly, Jesus' goodness and love. The centurion doesn't mention these explicitly, but they're assumed right through the passage. The centurion was a foreigner and a soldier in the occupying Roman army, and yet he knew he could come to Jesus, the one who loved his enemies. What's more, the centurion knew he could come to Jesus for the healing of his servant. He knew Jesus used his power for good. The centurion recognized Jesus' goodness and love. True faith is about trusting in Jesus and who he is. True faith isn't a bargaining chip, which means we can make God do what we want. True faith comes to Jesus, recognizes who he is, and sticks with him, even when what happens around us or to us is not what we want. This passage in the Bible is not teaching us that if we have enough faith, we can have healing. It's teaching us what faith is. True faith is about trusting in Jesus and who he is. What does that mean for us? Well, perhaps you're listening today and Christianity has always been for you about being accepted by God on the basis that you are a good enough person. Do you see that Jesus holds up the centurion as an example of faith? And that same centurion recognizes that he's unworthy and undeserving. Jesus died on the cross for unworthy and undeserving people like that centurion, like you and me. People whose nature is to push out of our lives the God who made us and who loves us. If you and I are somehow good enough for God, if we're somehow worthy and deserving, well then Jesus died for nothing. Jesus died on the cross to save us from the consequences of the fact that we are unworthy and deserving because we're helpless to save ourselves. If your faith has really been in thinking that you are good enough for God, can I encourage you to spend time looking at Jesus' power and authority, his goodness and love, and especially his death and resurrection? The more we dwell on who he is and what he has done, the more we realize how unworthy and undeserving we are and how much we need to depend on him in faith. If you know that you're accepted by Jesus on the basis of your faith in him, well, then that's a great place to be. But there are dangers for us when things are going well and also when they're going badly. When things are going well, when we're praying regularly, reading our Bibles, helping people, giving to charity, when we're doing good things, the danger is that we begin to put our faith in those things. We begin to slip into thinking that God accepts us on the basis of all that we are and all that we have done. Remember that even the good things we manage to do, we do by God's grace. Another danger for us when we're trusting in Jesus is when we are low or rock bottom, or when we are in the midst of really difficult times, and they come to us all. In those times of trial, we're tempted to think that what we're going through, has something to do with our faith. We're tempted to think we're suffering because we don't have enough faith. We're tempted to think we need more faith. We're tempted to think we need to have faith in our faith. Now, at those times, we need to remember that our faith is not a human creation. It's not a quality we have. It's not something we can use to barter with God. It may be that all we can manage is just to hold on to Jesus, not just his power and authority, his love and goodness, but his death and resurrection. In those tough times, we will cling not to our faith, but simply to Jesus himself. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that our faith is not dependent on us, but on Jesus. May we see his glory more and more and rejoice in the wonder of his death and resurrection. May we depend on him in all things. And we ask this for your glory. Amen.